Blog Talk Radio.
Short break. I apologize for any inconvenience. Just want to check and make sure that we are going out. Mr. Bianchi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, fine. Well, we have a few people that have dialed back in, and so we can keep going with the conversation again. I apologize for the inconvenience. And again, the topic, which we can change the topic, that's one of the ground rules, is that if the topic is not satisfactory that I chose, then we can always entertain new topics. We don't have to stick on the topic, but I do want to remind those people that may still have some thoughts that they were just holding back on speaking about to reiterate the topic that we started out with, and then we can shift gears. But the topic was the question, does President Trump stop in the issuance of low-skilled workers' visas to Haitians represent white racism? Because this is a conversation that if you go up on the news channels, and I'm not talking about fake news, I'm talking about, you know, some of the major news networks, it is a question mark. It's a discussion that's being held. I'm not saying that it does. I'm not saying it doesn't. And one reason why I really cannot say it, I will say this, I'll share this with you, that it represents white racism is because one of the justifications that Homeland Security gave is that a lot of these people, according to their data, this is not made up, but supposedly based on real data, that have come over here from Haiti to work for a season in these agricultural establishments or whatever low-skill seasonal worker situations or so forth that they come over here for. When time comes for them to get on a plane or however and go back, they can't be found. They won't go back. They won't turn themselves in to get transportation to go back. Even though they were brought over here with the understanding they were just going to work over here for this particular time frame, and then they were going to go back home. But you can't find them. They won't go back. So, you know, if that's the case, you've got these undocumented people that can't be located, that are slipping into the social services system, slipping into the even maybe the criminal system, who knows. So from that standpoint, one could make the case that it's not racism, it's just good business. If these people won't play by the rules, make them go back home or don't let them come over here until they establish a track record that they're going to follow the game plan, follow the rules. So, I mean, there's two sides to the coin. Don't think that I'm on the side of white racism being the cause. I just want to find out what you all have to say.
Well, you know what? Let me get back to this education. You're a professor at the university there in Georgia. What is the full tuition at that university? You know that off the top of your head?
No, I really don't. And I'll tell you the reason why, because I don't work in that particular area. And so the students have already settled their tuition. Different students, based on different circumstances, like you mentioned about resident, non-resident. We also have a special program for senior citizens where they don't pay any tuition. So it varies. I could quickly find out. If you give me 2 minutes, I can tell you.
I can tell you what it is, I believe, at Southern, you know, LSU. I think LSU is about $44,000 a year.
Okay.
So that means that in Southern, I think it's about 20-something. Let's take Southern University. For a child that lives outstate, say in Mississippi, comes to Southern University there in Baton Rouge, for 4 years they're going to pay $80,000. A refugee come there for 4 years, they're going to pay half that amount, if not less. and they're not even United States citizens. Nobody says anything about that. I don't hear any complaints about that, and there should be.
Yes, sir. Let me get in here for just a second and tell you, I just pulled it up. The cost of attending Augusta University is per term for in-state students without financial aid is $8,282, and the cost for out-of-state students without financial aid is $2,990 per term.
$22,990,
that's for out-of-state students.
Absolutely. So if a black child was coming from Mississippi, they're going to end up paying $91,600 for 4 years, whereas if it's a refugee, they're going to pay the in-state, which would be $32,000. And they're not U.S. citizens. Now, I don't know about you, but that just, to me, people talk about right and wrong and the law. That ain't right to me, even though it's lawful. And
I have a
question. Racist,
but at the same
that?
Time, even though
why is
that?
Why is it?
I think somebody was asking, why is that?
Why
you
is
know,
it that out-state, people out-state have to pay double compared to people in-state?
Yes. Not out of the country, pay less.
But these refugees, it's because of some wrangling that's going on, some treaty, some agreements. I don't know exactly how you would track it down. I bet you it's got something to do with money, though.
But
it may be
because I have a few African friends, and they come over, and I'm assuming it's the same way for.
No, they're not refugees. And they're not illegal.
So it's only refugees.
Yes.
Okay.
If you come to the country illegally, you got a visa, which as you would go someplace else, you would go to their country's embassy, and they would give you a visa. They cost $100. I don't know how much it costs. And then it's good for a certain period of time. You can stay in their country for that time. When that visa expires, you got to get out of there or renew your visa.
But my question to that is, who is it really going to benefit, like, once they send all these people back, when you have colleges that don't even accept too many black people anyway? I mean, there's a limit to those that are accepted in Yale. There is a limit to those who are accepted in Harvard. There is a limit to those who are accepted in UCLA. I mean, it's not a lot of people have the opportunity to fill up these colleges the way that they should, because they pick a certain amount of people from certain amount, you know, they pick certain amount of people from various groups, but majority of these colleges will accept white students before they accept the Koreans, before they accept the blacks, before they accept other races. I do know that. So, I mean, even though, like I said, he is looking to send these people back, I don't think that it's still going to benefit a lot of races that are left here. I really don't.
Well, the thing is that just like the people that come here on these work visas, you should train Americans for those jobs. We comment about the number of African Americans that's in the prison system. Well, and some of them in there shouldn't be in there. What trained them for these jobs? They did it during World War II when they went and trained people for certain specific things that helped to benefit the war. I was deferred from going to Vietnam because I had an occupational deferment, because what I'd done and was skilled in, there was a vast shortage of. So train Americans for those jobs.
You have to also look at, these people are willing to work a lot more cheaper in pay than what the Americans are. And then another thing to take a look at is that United States are not allowing these people to come here for no reason. We're getting something from their country too, because I have friends that are from Korea and other places, and they talk about that, how they're getting like a lot of real estate. For example, Long Beach. Long Beach I was totally in shock to find that it is owned by those from over in Korea. And I'm like, how did that happen? But I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of benefits that the United States have over there as well. And we just don't really know everything as Americans in terms of what's really taking place behind those closed doors. I would just say that I believe that, like my daughter was talking about the wall, we know that the Hispanics are not coming. I mean, there is not going to stop them from coming over that brick wall. They're coming, like, through underground. They're coming by plane. They're coming by boat. He's taken a lot of this money to build up the wall because you have to understand that he, the president, is being supported by a lot of white supremacists. And a lot of that money that they have invested into him, they want to see the white American be back on top in the way that they were before, because we do have to admit a lot of Hispanics do have a lot of jobs, as well as a lot of Korean people and people from other countries. They're setting up businesses and they have a lot of greater opportunity than those of us that were born and raised here. At the same time, you also have Russia and other places that have invested into this president because they too have high demands for their people to get benefit from the United States, the opportunity that their children, like you just mentioned, going to college, or like when I go to UCLA with my daughter, I see a lot of Koreans, I see a lot of people from other countries, and it just kind of made me scratch my head. I'm like, wow, you know, I don't really see a lot of African Americans. I don't see a lot of other races.
Are those people that you see, are they here legally or illegal?
I don't really know if they're here. I put it to you like this. There was, like, last year, when there was an issue where a lot of people had to go back, that campus was, like, really almost empty.
I'm talking about people who are here illegally and also refugees. No American citizen should have to stand behind those who are illegal in a line, behind those here illegal, and refugees.
I agree.
At some point in time, it's okay. You know, they let during the earthquake in Haiti, during the earthquake in El Salvador, they let in a number of people because of humanitarian cause. They gave them temporary status, which lasted a certain period of time. This was 11 years ago. And when that status runs out, they have to go.
I understand that, but you have to also look at, as well as they're letting, they have control. United States have more control than what we're giving them credit for. They're allowing these people to come over here. We have ways of stopping them. If you can see people in their house without actually being inside, they know exactly what's going on. But at the same time, take a look at Mexico. There are more white people that's taken over Mexico, kicking out the Hispanics themselves. You have more Chinese people that's taken over Mexico. So at the same time we're talking about these people coming over here, look at what white man is doing to them, is taking over their country as well. So
I understand
that white man is very strategic at what he does, and he likes to, you know, act like he doesn't see what's going on when he does. And to me, I just feel that there's a bigger, I really don't think that the money that's being spent on these people is all that we have. I think it's a small portion of compared to what the United States really do have. And when I look at, once he sent all these people back, is it going to benefit black people? Is it going to benefit other races? Or is it going to benefit more white people?
Well, I tell you what goes on in Mexico is the Mexican problem. But let me tell you something. The Mexican Constitution gives the Mexican president to expel immigrants or foreigners or someone that's in that country legally at the drop of a hat without due process. Not like it is here. When you go to expel somebody, then they have access to the courts, and a court date may be years from now. I think what they should do, if you're going to give them due process, let them go back home and wait till their court date appears. That's the way it should be. Now, I don't know if the figures are correct or not, but I have heard of over upwards of 300,000 illegals are lavishing in American prisons. Who's paying for that?
Well, actually, they get money from different. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and they get various grants. And the more people that they fill up the prison, that's the more money that they get. So that's something that's separate.
Illegals are in federal prison. They're not in state prison, I don't think. That's a federal crime to be in the United States.
They still get money. Even in private prisons, they still get money to run it. So, I mean,
I don't think private prisons run federal prisons. I don't think private companies run federal prisons. Somebody might correct me. I know they run state prisons because states don't have the money to run it themselves. What they do is you have companies that build the prison, lease it out to the state, and then they come upon an agreement with these other entities that run the actual prison services. But all in all, if a person is in the country illegal, they should go. We have to be a country of laws. And as I said before, I think that refugees should be sent back where they came from.
And I would not deny that, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure, like, how much better is it really going to be when you look back in history? You know, is it really going to benefit you? Is it really going to benefit me because of our skin color? Or is it who really is it going to benefit? Because when
people that your children got to compete with.
I have a question, if I'm incorrect, someone correct me. In 1984, or sometime during that time, if I'm not mistaken, Cuba opened the gates of their prison and sent them all over to the United States for no return. So did that benefit us at all for all of their criminals to come here? Did the Cuban criminals benefit us in any way?
Well, you know,
was it even known to a lot of people?
It probably wasn't known, but at the same time, you had Haitians who had landed on the shores of Florida, and they was hunted down like dogs. They had helicopters following around, and it was put back out to sea. There's a policy called wet foot, dry foot. And if you have, and it's extended to certain groups, if you have 1 foot in water and 1 foot on dry land, you're allowed to stay. But they didn't allow the Haitians to stay.
Well, let me just slip in for a minute. I have an answer to your question, Mr. Bianchi. There's a company called Core Civic used to be called the Corrections Corporation of America, and it's a company that owns and manages private prisons and detention centers. And it says in this article I just got off the internet, and it's well footnoted, so I can only say that it looks like it's a validated piece of information. But it says that it actually has federal and state correctional facilities. So to answer your question, the federal government is using these private companies.
And, you know, I think you're right. The question said that they was going to go back to using a private company.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, this is up to date. So it looks like that even though they had, under Obama, President Obama, they had said they were going to stop, but it seems like they went back and they're doing it now.
So here's the thing. And you know, those companies are traded on the stock market. People can buy stock in them. But the reason they do it is because private companies seemingly can run things better than governments do. And I know in Missouri that was one of the issues. But I don't understand how people overlook that. Like I said before, the protest that you seen that was going on by people of Latin descent when Trump got elected, overturning cars, burning trash cans, busting out windows and flying the Mexican flag. You can't do that in Mexico.
Well, that's why you probably can't do that in the States.
Pardon me?
There are some of the reasons why people want to come here, and we invited them to come here for all those things that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Including jobs or people. We made America want to be the place where people come for freedoms that they could not get in their own country. It's just we don't know
how much fighting do we have to do to change things here in the United States. Can't they do the same thing where they come from? I mean, we send them enough aid, billions of dollars.
That's how we've gotten into these other countries, promising them to get that we would help them get the same kind of governmental system that the United States has, offering them their citizens the same kind of freedom. That's why you have the wars and stuff. But I think no matter what we do, the average person does not know what our government, the deals, the private deals they make, and private citizens, what
That's
they do.
Right.
Because we have to realize that these people came, even the ones that came legally. I mean, this happened out of Europe and everything else. All of them did not come legally.
Mm-hmm.
So
no matter where they come from, they should come legally. And, you know, too.
But many of them didn't either, and we made provisions for them.
Well, the provisions
didn't come here legally either.
The provisions was made for legal people to do it legally. Here's the thing. You have people that come here illegally, have children, and when they are finally caught, and this is showing some irresponsibility on a parent, an individual. Why would you go to a country you know you illegally there, have children, then when you are caught and they get ready to deport you, you throw up this excuse saying, oh, they're separating the family. No, what should happen, the child should go along with the parent, then you don't separate the parent, the family.
Well, then, so then Trump should be here then, right? Because what I was
no,
saying
no,
is
no, 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 no. Trump a Jimmy Carter, the law still applies.
Now,
If we didn't know Trump, the law should still apply.
Well, I just think that it's just unfair that, you know, first of all, for example, California was part of Mexico, and this country, it does not belong to white people. This basically belongs to Indians as well as the Hispanics as well, and I just think that it's not fair that white people could come here illegally, and it's okay for them. But then when other people come here illegally, it's not okay. And once, my thing is this, once they do send everybody back, that's still not going to change and going to make America great for those of us that were born here. Black people still going to have the same problems.
All blacks are not the same. And so for some reason, though, we want to lump them all into the same category. You have
black people, he let the debate known that we are not smart and we are not even really worth anything. So when you have a man that speaks of black people like that,
are we supposed to believe that?
I personally have not seen that. I don't know what people are looking at, but I haven't seen that.
But even if these things are said, we're not supposed to believe that. We have to know our own, what we contribute. But since we've been here, even through slavery, we have to empower our own self, and we have to stop listening to other people tell us who we are. We have to know who we are from within.
Power is in the money. I don't care who you are. Then the Bible tells you that a poor man has no say.
Well, there is a God for those who believe in God. There is a God.
God has nothing to do with what's going on here.
God has everything. God has everything to do with everything all the time.
Hang on for a second. Now, we were talking about immigration for a while.
What I'm saying is this. If I'm not saying that God doesn't have everything to do with it, let me rephrase that. If God was the center of everyone, then things wouldn't be as messy as it is now. There wouldn't be no shitty countries. There wouldn't be no comments made of such. Everybody would be treated equal. But unfortunately, they are not using God in the middle of this. So that's why I said we might as well push him aside.
And that's why
and not
it's
in the middle of where he is not.
Right.
And if God was in the middle, we wouldn't be having these elite people that's doing Satanism. We wouldn't be having them involved in a lot of things that they're involved in, worshiping other images other than God. That's why I said push him
out of it,
because they're not operating out of God. They're operating with their own God, which are 500 different ones. So which
that's
God
okay.
So I just think that religion shouldn't be brought into this. It should be separate, because man is operating out of greed.
That's the
They're
problem.
Operating out of racism. Racism is a system, and it's a system that they don't want to lose their
power. You can't bring religion in, because that's the same law in this land as the United States Constitution.
Let me tell you this. That's the problem right there with the racial images.
That's uneducated to be a president. That's what I will never understand. He was voted in. He was voted in not for his education. They had something that they want this man to accomplish and do. Now, Obama definitely could provide his education. Where did Trump come from? I mean, if you think about it, what, about 15 or 20 years ago, he was saying that he was going to be a president way back then, and it happened. He said he was going to serve a two-year term. Now, if he serves another term, I'm going to know something is up with this.
Well, let me
I just
something.
Don't
Obama didn't have any political experience. I stay in Missouri across from Illinois. Obama didn't have no political experience. And there's,
I'm just saying, I don't
Donald Trump meets the qualifications. The qualifications for a president, but listen, the qualifications for a president of the United States is spelled out in the United States Constitution, and he meets those qualifications. That's all it is.
I just don't think the answer is sending everybody back. There is more budgeting that needs to be done that has nothing to do with, I mean, I'm saying that it does play a big role, but the United States is so rich, there is no way that some people could put a major dent that if you send everybody back, oh, wow, all these jobs are going to be available. No, we need to also look at how they're investing billions of dollars and doing research on roaches. They're doing, you know, having all these billions of dollars on sending people out with plants. You know, there's a lot more money that's being wasted, such as them paying billions of dollars for these planes doing these things that we don't really even need. I think there's more other ways that they're spending
but
money.
But you can't justify what you think is wrong with something that is truly wrong. The problem is that people are here illegally. Send them back. If they want to come back into the country, then apply to come back the right way.
Yeah, but we're speaking on immigrants as though that's the only problem. That's not the only problem. That's
that
what I'm
is
saying.
The problem in discussion. No, you're absolutely right. It's not the only problem, but it is the problem in discussion.
I get what you're saying, but that's just only a fraction of the problem that needs to be resolved in the U.S. And I just think that
well,
once they
do that, ma'am,
there's still many other problems that have not been addressed.
Let me ask you a question.
About
the people
this
on the southern border,
tonight.
The people on the southern border, United States citizens that live in towns on the southern border, make these complaints all the time. Should they not know what they need in order to feel safe? You go into some areas, they have bars on the windows. In other homes, they may just have a sign that says this house is protected by ADT. In some houses, they may have a big dog in the yard. Those are the things that the people feel that they need to have to be safe. But the ones on the southern border who's exposed to these calamities say this is what we want.
It's not the question, though. It says, does President Trump stopping the issuance of low-skilled workers' visas to Haitians represent white racism? Well, that's a legal way to come in. If you apply, if he's stopping the issuance of the, that's a legal way to come into the country. And I'm sure there's people from all these countries that come in as low-skilled workers.
Well, that's not true. You have
once they leave, who's going to be picking? What person do you really know is going to be an American going to be out there picking the field for that price?
They're going to start using technology to start picking fruit like they are already doing in some areas of the country. But the thing is, a government has the right to set the limits of immigrants coming into the country. Britain does it. Germany do it. Even South Africa do it with other blacks from surrounding countries. They do it also.
Whose fault is that? That's the United States' fault for not having no control like other countries. That's because there's something that they're getting. If other countries are controlling things like the way you just mentioned, think about it. United States is a very powerful country, a very powerful nation. So with all the technology that we have, with all of these capabilities that we have, don't you find it strange that they just have no control over this and now all of a sudden, oh my God, we got to send all these people back? No, they knew this already. There's something that they're getting out the deal that they're not talking about.
Well, maybe some of the administration in the past just turned a blind eye to this.
They didn't turn no blind eye. White man don't do that. No, he's getting something out of it. But it's called secrecy.
Well, you know, you have African Americans that's in some of these policy-making positions also. If the country was ran, if all whites was out of the country and the country was ran by, say, Nigerians, you still would be faced with the same similar problems.
This problem is bigger than all of us are aware of, and a lot of it is not being told and talked about, and they're not letting the public know anything about it. I'm willing to bet that they're not letting us know every single thing. I tell you that much.
And we will never know every single thing.
But what each of us could do is look in the areas in which we live in and see how these decisions are impacting us locally, and that's what we have control. We have to stop thinking that we do not have any control over anything. We do. But we may need a smaller control. We have to look at where we are, each one of us, where we live at, and how the decisions that are made at the federal level are going to affect our small areas. And that's where
how much control do we really have when they discovered that Trump and them had actually, he didn't get his position because people voted for him. It's because they cheated and rigged it. So the machines were not working. They were guiding people to go elsewhere where the machines were not working, and I was there for proof. So a lot of those machines were rigged, and a lot of people, they even talked about how Russia had played a role in that. So I'm just telling you, he cheated. And so
if we had that much power,
we had to say, the economy would be a whole lot different. There are more poor people than there are rich people, and I just don't see things getting better. I see the richer getting more richer and the poor people getting more broke. But yet there's more.
How is it that Latinos have passed blacks in the economic categories?
Repeat that, please.
How is it that Latinos have passed American blacks in the economic categories? How is it that Nigerians and Ghanaians, Africans that come here, also pass black Americans in economic categories?
The Nigerians, from what I was told, they have offered a lot of money to the United States to support us blacks, that we wouldn't have to worry about it. That's why they're offering us to come over there to live there, because they understand that a lot of things are against us blacks, like the Latinos. They could go, you could take a white man, a Latino man, and a black one to go get a car. Well, it has been proven that the black man has the highest annual percentage rate than a Mexican man, who has a higher percentage rate, APR, than a white man. So when you look at, even with me taking real estate classes, we was already warned then, if you want to make your business work, do not mix the black people over in the white area, and do not put the Latino over in the white area. Everything is already set up. So if the Latinos is making it more than black people, we was already messed up from the beginning, but they're not overdoing white people. I promise you that.
Well, the Nigerians have a higher education attainment than Asians and whites.
I understand that, but this is not a black
man's
world. And
household income.
But it's not a black man's world.
The people that come out of these countries, they're the top. Their parents and stuff have.
You have first and second generation that's born here in the United States that's following the same pattern. They don't have to come out of they don't have to come from over there. You have first and second generation that's born here that's following the same pattern.
But the ones when they come over here, they're not the average. They're not the low-income people. They're not coming out of these countries either. If they're coming, they're coming.
Over in those countries, they apply for a lottery to get a visa to come to the U.S.
We have to stop thinking that our people are not achieving. Our people are achieving. In this
I didn't say that they're not achieving, but we also have a higher roof. We have to climb a lot more higher than the other person. We have to work harder. Most of your average students that do attend college is working two jobs and going to school and still accomplishing a high GPA, but nobody want to talk about that. The average person want to put down black people. They don't talk about black women. They want to make it seem like we're just, oh, my God, just welfare recipients when it's actually white people and Mexicans on it more. But what I'm saying is that there is a lot of high-achieving black students that is not being acknowledged, and half of these students that are graduating as lawyers don't even get a job. And that's a shame. You and you're not getting a job. I find that to
if
be
you
quite
go on the National Society of Black Engineers website, there's about 6,000 jobs on that website that's going unfulfilled in the STEM field.
Okay, well, not everybody wants to do that, though.
They're in the STEM field.
Okay, so there's more and more doing it, and those people, if there's that many jobs on an African-American website, then those brothers or sisters, whoever are the engineers, they need to go back and give back to their people, and they can
teach them
what to know. There's a way. We have to stop being we're not hopeless and helpless.
Right. I don't think anybody said we are hopeless and helpless, but if you turn your head to the reality of how hard it is for our people that have accomplished, then we will never be able to come to some type of agreement or acknowledgement that we are being set up and it's not fair. When you have over 600 different students who are graduating as lawyers and they cannot find a job, when you have other college students who have a degree, when you have other college students who are able to present these degrees and they can't get it because of their skin color, that's a problem. And
let's face this, and I'm sure we all can agree to this, and I like to always mix this up. Whites nor Nigerians or even Somalians is going to teach your black American children how to take power from theirs. It's not going to happen.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said this. Whether it's white people, whether it's Nigerians, or whether it's Ethiopians, they are not going to teach your black American children how to take power from theirs. It's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen. So long as there's racism.
Okay, I got a question. As you guys were speaking, my mind went back to Booker T. Washington. You know, that's really our true beginning anyway, is up from slavery. You know, we're a new people. And I remember him saying to the people that graduated, to the teachers that graduated, he says, plant yourself among your people after they got educated. So could it be that we could go back and borrow a page out of the beginning of our history to get where we're going, because they did accomplish a lot, you know?
Yeah, they accomplished a lot, but a lot of things were burned down, too. I mean, look at how the black man is the one that started the Wall Street, and there were a lot of black slaves who became free that were multimillionaires, but then you had a lot of white people going into that community of them that did stick together, and they became more powerful that burned the city down. So, I mean, as long as there is racism, and they have this division where we can't come together in the way that we should. I mean, take a look at it. As long as you have a group of people that are utilizing this system, such as the police officers, look at how they are planting drugs on our young men and shooting our young men that has never been in trouble. That, I mean, they're just going crazy with things. How do they expect for us to succeed when they're constantly sticking out their feet and planning things on people, lying and doing all these things?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you let that go on in your community with your employees?
Why do you let it go on? You're a representative on here. What are you doing?
It doesn't go on in my community, ma'am.
What
I'm asking the question.
It doesn't go on in my community.
Why do people let that go on in their
community
with your employees?
There's a lot of wealthy black people that lives in Beverly Hills, and even Beverly Hills has the same problem. So, yes, I can say.
Why in those majority black communities you let your employees that you pay their wages and salary carry on like that?
You're black. You should know. You should answer that, too. I'm sure there's racism I'm sure there's some type of racism that you have experienced.
I have a question. Do we let racism and any other kind of negativism stop us from progressing, or do we believe in ourselves?
No.
I mean, come on, y'all. You know, we have work to do.
First of all, I would like to say, as well as anyone else. I have family that works in the White House as attorneys, but they pass for white. That's why they got in there. The Simpsons is a very large family.
Okay, but
we have millionaires in our family, but I tell you what, even my uncle, who lives in a predominantly white area, and he has his mansion. They blew the place up when the man first moved in there. There still are problems that occur with wealthy black people.
But what you're talking about, ma'am, what she's talking about is individuals committing crime.
Their majority of them are millionaires. I'm talking even my cousins.
Henry Gates couldn't even get in his own house,
they
arrested him. You just don't
have
these problems.
What you're talking about, lady, is individuals that's committing crimes. There's no law that says blow up the black man's house when he comes into the neighborhood. Those are individual crimes.
Okay,
Henry Gates
got
arrested for getting in his own house. Henry Gates.
What I'm saying, it still has not stopped blacks from going to college and getting their paper trail. But at the same time, when you could go into, even I personally have put in jobs.
What is your beef? Because I'm black.
So I'm not saying that, oh, my God, you guys are speaking as though that there's not a problem. And maybe there's not a problem.
No, it is.
Well, you do. Nope, not the way you guys are speaking. You guys are saying that black people have the power and that it is our fault because of
racism.
That's how you guys are speaking. That's the message even my own daughter has experienced racism when my daughter was in one of the most smartest schools here in Los Angeles. And those teachers were deliberately sabotaging my kid. They have even asked her, oh, my God, why would you be in a school like that? My daughter also attended UCLA, and she is definitely an honor roll student, 5 different honor programs.
And
she
didn't
see racism there.
Did it
stop her? No.
She
still
what did they do to her?
She's still getting her paper trail. What I'm saying is that there is a such thing as the system of racism can definitely be of a hindrance to get to the plateau that people need to be.
Can we change our color system?
Because
what
if that's not the case, I'm sure like a lot of
well, you know, I'm going to tell you something, lady. Racism is not illegal. Racism is not illegal unless it violates somebody's civil rights.
Well, you guys are speaking as though, oh my goodness, black people just
okay. Well,
so
what do you think? Sister, what do you think the solution should be? Let us hear from you with your solution, so maybe we
if
can
I
help.
Had the solution,
because, because
the
maybe
solution,
we can help.
No, I
maybe
think
we
that
can
if
help
I
you.
Have the solution, I don't have the solution. Obviously, you guys don't have the solution either, because even though we're all talking and giving our opinion.
Let me speak from my perspective. I don't have the problem that you may have in my community. I'm an activist. I'm an activist in my community. And, you know, when we have a problem, the city that I live in, which is Baton Rouge, our African-American politicals, they get up and they get busy. And you can go to them.
And,
you can
talk
to them.
And by the way, lady, I'm down here. I'm down in Baton Rouge right now, off of Stewart.
Who is that? Who is that?
Wow, well, I've met a lot of people from Baton Rouge that
you in my hometown.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people in Baton Rouge that have complained. Even the police officers.
I mean, we have complaints, but we get up and we do something about it.
There's a police officer right now who is on Facebook and who has definitely presented his situation for everyone to view through YouTube, because they are killing the black police officers and setting them up because they have blown the whistle on racism and the things that they're doing to set up the black community.
Sister, I didn't say we didn't have problems. I said
because he's asking for help.
I didn't say we didn't have problems. I'm saying we are working on the solution so we don't get anxiety or we don't go off in an uprising because we have a problem.
You know what they did there in cities around Ferguson, all black towns?
Then why are so many black people in prison who have not even committed a crime?
Well, they've not committed a crime, man. They're probably in prison. My goodness.
Well, you know what kind of country you live in? This is post-slavery.
Prison time that didn't even commit the crime.
Well, they probably, I would say the majority of them committed a crime and ended up in prison.
If black people wouldn't have that much power.
Ma'am.
You're a person who has been personally hurt by somebody
I'm listening to the cries of many. I haven't been personally hurt. I've been blessed. What I'm saying to you is,
well, I don't hear that cry from every black person that I see.
I'm listening to those who are in Hollywood that's complaining the blackout. I'm listening to other people that are trying to get together that are talking about the racism and the things that are even occurring among the millionaires. It's not about personally being hurt. It's called opening up your ears to what's really going on. To the
If a person has a feeling, you're not going to change it.
But I put it to you like this. If I'm going to go to the car lot to get my daughter a car, I expect the same treatment that a white man would get, a Mexican man, and anybody else.
If you don't do it, what are you going to do? You're going to still try to make them sell you a car?
On the news,
if you go to a car lot to get a car,
investigations have come about that here in California. They have talked about this, and they are not in agreement with this. They have broadcast this on the news. Now, is that me personally being hurt? No, it's not. It's called the news revealing the evilness that is life in our
system. Have you ever been anywhere that black people been treated good?
Talking about people being treated good, ma'am. We're talking about just the way the news has broadcast it.
Sister, it's about good living. It's up to
you. That they are. And you guys are trying to make it seem as though
they're not inferior to anybody.
You know what? Last year, I bought my grandson a car down here in Baton Rouge on Florida Avenue and got a damn good deal.
And that's what I'm saying.
For
if
you
go somewhere,
not for everyone else. We can't speak for everybody.
It's 8 billion people in the world. We can't speak for everybody and feel everybody pain. I'm sorry that you do. Maybe we not like you.
No. Don't put words in my mouth. Let me speak to you once again so you can understand where I'm coming from. I am not giving my personal opinion. I am giving
you the opinion of many.
When things have to be broadcast on the news, and I'm watching the news in my community, being made aware of what's going on, I listen and I'm taking heed. That has nothing to do with me personally. I'm telling you what is really going on.
It's affecting you personally, though.
So at the same time, the way you're speaking is as though black people have the power to change this. Well, if they do, start with the prison.
We most certainly do.
I have the power to change my life.
From killing people like they're doing, when they're pulling them over in the car, they're shooting people live on camera that's been taped. That's not even doing anything. Where's the black people that have to make a change? These white people.
Yeah, but those are not the majority of the cases. Come on. Now, let's get off of that. You know, you got communities around Ferguson where Michael Brown was killed. All black communities that dissolved their police force. They got rid of them. And they came back with something that they wanted and they could control. Those are the employees of people of a community. If you let your employees run buck wild, then guess what? Don't say they can't change. They do change. I don't know what's going on out there in California. Maybe that's why I don't live in California. I don't live in Illinois. I choose to live where I am. You experience some things I've never experienced.
I haven't experienced being shot, nor my people have experienced being shot.
Let me get in for 2 minutes. I have to do this commercial because we got to sell some of the products so we can have money to pay for the show. So I just need 2 minutes and we can keep this going. We got about 6.5 minutes left. And I just need 2 of those minutes, so please bear with me for the commercial. Don't go anywhere.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Okay, folks, I just appreciate your patience while we played our commercial. We need to do that at least once during the show. So let's go ahead. We've got about 5 minutes, a little less than 5 minutes, to finish up our conversation for tonight, our discussion for tonight. So let's just go ahead. Anybody wants to join us that hasn't spoken, you're free to step in. But those who've been speaking, if you want to continue on the discussion, that's fine. You have the mic, as they say.
I would like to go ahead. Oh, I would just like to get to talk again on this subject. And I don't know, the sister out in Los Angeles, what's your name?
Bernadette,
yeah. It's like we don't know each other, and all of us are making good comments, and I would like to see more of sharing the solutions. You know what I mean? And hearing each other out and not downing anybody, but just so we can know where each of us are coming from. You know, it's really interesting, and I've enjoyed all the comments, you know. And it's like, wow, I'd like to get to know us better, you know. But that's all I want to say.
So getting to know better to make a change. I would like to say that I believe the only thing that we do have is hope. We cannot feel that we are hopeless, because when we feel we're hopeless, then the racist wins. We don't need to sit and fight racism. We need to find common ground to solve our problems on. We would probably never be able to get rid of racism, so we have to go around it, go under, do whatever we have to do, but we can't give up hope. We cannot give up hope.
I hear people say, you know, when you have blacks that oppose,
we're resilient.
Overwhelmingly, they say that they want to have school choice with vouchers. But you got others who say that they don't want that. So it comes down to the plain old common denominator. All black people are not the same, and I wish people would realize that. All whites are not the same. Heck, it was whites that gave Harriet Tubman the lanterns for her Underground Railroad. And we won't seem like we just don't want to realize that. Yes, there's some community that have problems. You got some black community that have control over the things that they're supposed to have control over. And they show their accountability. Blacks in Ferguson last year didn't come out to vote out Mayor Knowles, the long-standing mayor, white mayor. They didn't come out and vote, so he got reelected. Whose fault is that? And I hear all these excuses. There ain't no excuses. You got to get off your butt and go vote. That is, unless you don't want to vote the person out that's in there.
Well, I think we have to become more educated and realize the power that we have in our vote.
Okay, we're down to the last 60 seconds. If you haven't spoken and you want to get in something before we actually close, please jump right in.
Well, I'm
going to
leave it there. You were talking earlier about the president, and hey, I don't think that that's the case. I voted for the man because of his issues, and he's trying to live out every issue that he put out there, and I have to take my hat off of him, and I'm sure you too, Washington, because I have never seen a president stick to their campaign issues and promises like this man is trying to do. I really like it.
Okay, well, that's a good closing comment. Is anybody else? We got about a half a minute left. Does anybody else want to give a closing comment? And then our time will be over, and we'll decide between now and next Saturday if we want to get on this topic, or maybe something else will come up in the news that may be good for a different conversation. So we got less than a half a minute. Does anybody else want to try to get in something?
I think the Haitians should do the right thing by doing the legal thing to be in America and anybody else from around the world.
Okay, well, we're about finished. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ladies. We appreciate everybody's comments tonight. We're certainly thankful that you did join us, all of you that listen via the Internet. I hope you enjoyed the discussion, you that participated. We certainly thank you for participating, and we're going to close out now with our traditional song we always like to finish our show with, and this is Let Every Voice and Sing. Thank you. Thank you. To our global listening audience, you've been listening to African American Family Forum, sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And this program is a production of Booker T. Washington Speaks. Your host is Marshall Washington Cabinet Sabui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. We hope you'll join us on next Saturday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, and 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time for another African-American Family Room Forum, a discussion about matters that pertain to the African-American community and how we can solve those problems that confront us as a people. Thank you very much for listening. And to all of you, we say, as we close out, good night, and may God bless you.